Bibles handy and marked in the book of James chapter 1. That is where we will continue to refer back to this morning as we study the scriptures. Our intent at this congregation here is to do as the song that we just sung before the Bible reading, to seek God first. And as we do that, we have to use the scriptures. And this morning, what we want to talk about for the next few moments with everyone is our attitude towards trials. And we're going to be looking at what the writer, the inspired writer, James, had to write for us in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2 through verse 18 this morning. And in our lives, we encounter various trials, don't we? There's things that we all encounter each and every day of our lives. We could probably spend the remaining time here this morning, probably till late tonight, talking about the different trials that each and every one of us encounter. But that's not what we want to do, but we need to at least recognize that we encounter different trials each and every day, don't we? We may encounter trials such as we read about in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 36. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 36. It says, "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having attained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided them better, or provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." So they encountered things like this: the mockings, the scourgings, the prison, the stonings, the being sawn in two, killed by the sword, wanderings, the being destitute, afflicted, tormented, the various wanderings out in deserts, mountains, caves, dens. And we might call those, as I've labeled them here, external trials. It's not something that we're dealing with internally. Now, it relates internally, as we'll get to in the lesson this morning, but they were external trials. We might say that, well, our job, you might be at your job or at school, and there's pressures to lie, cheat, or steal, or to falsify information. What about your honesty or your integrity being criticized? That's a trial, isn't it? What about if the government, let's just say hypothetically, ruled that every congregation in the United States had to have women elders and women preachers? Well, that would be a trial, wouldn't it? Because that's not what's in the teaching of the Bible. What about a teacher that gives extra homework to a student at school, whether it's elementary school, middle school, high school, college, for not participating in certain school activities? I've personally encountered that. Certain things I would not participate in because of the time frame when they took place. I would miss services. And by taking a stand for the truth, well, I was critiqued for that, criticized for that. I was given more homework. I was, made an example of. And probably many of you were too. What about spanking your children? Well, you got to be careful these days. You go out and spank your child, you may land in jail, right? But what does the Bible teach? Is that a trial that we could potentially go through? Well, very much so. What about if even a family member passes away, or a relative, or someone just that you know in general passes away? What sometimes does the world do? Well, they'll blame God, and they'll stop attending services. Well, right there is a trial in and of itself as well. So those are external trials. But we also have internal trials. If we go to the book of Mark in chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Well, let's read beginning in verse 20. "And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. The internal trials that we may come in contact with on our day-to-day lives. The evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornications, the murders, the thefts. Everything that we just read. Where does that come from? It's an internal problem that has to be addressed. And we need to recognize that Satan tempts each and every one of us using external or internal means. He wants everybody in this room this morning. He said, well, there's a group of Christians following after God, doing His will. Well, I need to get every one of them. He's going to go through external means, and he's going to go through internal means to get each and every one of us sitting here this morning to do His will. And we need to recognize that, because as we study about trials and temptations, it provides insight into the devil's methods. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 talks about the wiles of the devil, or the schemes of the devil. We need to be knowledgeable of those things so that we understand how he works, what he is going to do. Once we understand the enemy, that's how we can overcome the enemy. And as we study about these things this morning, it's going to allow us to understand what our attitude needs to be towards external and internal trials, the rewards that we are going to reap, and it should allow us to have an advantage when we encounter future trials in our life. Well, let's talk about external trials then. If you go back to the book of James, chapter 1 there, James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And I'm getting a little bit ahead, so let's go back. Let's talk about some examples of external trials. Let's look at Christ. Go back to Matthew, as it shows there, Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And a well-known passage here, the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4, where Satan tempts Jesus. But let's read through them. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then he says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands he shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. For him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Just an example of an external trials that we may encounter. And we're not going to maybe encounter them the exact same way that Jesus did, but there's some examples. And another one is in Acts, the 16th chapter. Let's go over there and read that one really quick. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. It reads, when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Another example of an external trial. Here's Paul and Silas. What was it back in verse 16? It says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. They were going to pray. And here comes this demon-possessed woman, or girl, this slave girl, who was telling fortunes and started to annoy, as it says later on in verse 18, Paul. And this she did for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. It got to the point where it bothered Paul. And as a result of casting out that demon possessed girl, they ended up in jail. Well, right there's a trial, isn't it? An external trial. Well, when we go back to James, the first chapter, in verse 2, we need to recognize, as we kind of mentioned in the introduction, that we're all going to go through trials. That's something that we need to recognize. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Let's begin in verse 21. Acts 14, beginning in verse 21. It reads, "And when they had preached the gospel of that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, 'We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God.'" There's going to be many trials and tribulations that we're going to have to go through, brethren, each and every day. Satan's just not going to do it once and walk away. He's going to do like Mark said in the temptation of Jesus in Mark 4, 1 through 13. He's going to leave and he's going to wait until an opportune time and then he's going to come back. He's not just going to give up. And we need to recognize that we're going to go through those trials. Back in James, chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." He didn't say, if you fall into various trials, well, there would be a condition. He said, when you do, this will happen. You will encounter various trials. We all do, don't we? We need to be aware of that. It's not, well, I'm okay, I'm not having any problems. Well, maybe we need to evaluate ourselves. You know, Nathaniel needs to evaluate himself. Well, do I think I'm not having any problems, whether it's external or internal? I need to evaluate it. It's not if I'm going to have them, it's when you will. And we need to recognize that. Well, we also need to have the attitude of one of joy. Go back to the book of Acts, chapter 5 and verse 41. Acts, the 5th chapter, and verse 41. And here the apostles were in front of the council, and it says in Acts 5 and verse 41, "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." They rejoiced as a result of the trial that they had to go through. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beginning in verse 12. Peter writing here says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified." And then jump down to verse 16. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." We shouldn't be ashamed as a result of that, but we should glorify God. And then in verse 19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." We should be joyful. Faith tested produces patience. In James 1 and verse 3, that's what he said. In verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We should be joyful because as our faith is tested, it should produce patience. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans chapter 5, let's begin in verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We also need to endure trials faithfully because we will walk closer with God. In James 1 and verse 4, it reads, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our trials should help us remember who we are serving and why. And by being steadfast and unwavering in the face of trials, it proves our faith. And it should develop spiritual maturity. And then also, we see, as James writes in James 1, verses 5 and 6, that to deal with external trials that we might endure, we need to ask for wisdom and faith without wavering. James 1, beginning in verse 5, it reads, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So to endure, we can ask God for wisdom, in faith, without wavering. Because God's wisdom can help us. It's the only way to go. And what we see is that his wisdom will help us or enable us to know how to deal with the trials that we may encounter. The knowledge is what? The attainment of facts. Wisdom is the insight to properly use those facts or that knowledge. And we need to have confidence and trust in God, don't we? If we go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He's going to only give us what is best for us. If we need to endure, we can ask God, believe, not waver, and trust in him that he's going to help us. We need to have that confidence and that trust in God that he's going to answer the best way for what we need. Well, let's talk about internal trials really quick. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 14. Acts 8, beginning in verse 14, it reads, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, Therefore, if this your wickedness and pray, God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Well, Simon here had an internal problem. You know, he had obeyed the gospel some period before that, and here he was following after the apostles, seeing what they were doing, the laying on of the hand, and what was he tempted to do, or tested to do? Revert back to his old ways, wasn't he, of trickery. But he said, wow, I really like this. And this is just like we talked about in Wednesday night Bible class, isn't it? In verse 20, Peter said, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Simon, the sorcerer, thought that he could purchase that with the gift of money. Where did it begin? Inside his heart, didn't it? And even Peter tells him that in the next verse, verse 21, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And then verse 22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. So one example of an internal trial. Well, we need to recognize, the next thing is, how internal trials come about. Let's go back to James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So, he starts off saying, we're not tempted by God. That isn't where the temptation comes about from. What does he say next? Let no one say when he is tempted, verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So the temptation is what? We are tempted by desire, by lust. Satan draws us away from God by alluring us to something that appeals to us, doesn't he? Satan provides that opportunity and even the encouragement to satisfy that desire, whatever it may be. Then what's next? In verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. The temptation, that desire, that lust, some translations say lust, then it leads to sin. And desire conceived leading to that sin, it's the yielding to temptations and acting upon those desires leads to sin. Then in the remaining portion of verse 15, it says, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The temptation or the desire that we have leads to sin and then death. Romans 6 and verse 23. Let's turn there really quick. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we follow through with the wages of sin, it's going to equal death. Where does it all begin? What comes out of the heart? And that's kind of the common thread between external and internal trials. Because even though we're tempted and tested by external trials, it all comes back to what do we choose to do? So to endure on internal trials, we need to control our desires. We need to control our lusts. James 1 and verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. We need to put off those things, filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and do what? Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. We need to submit to God and resist the devil. If we go over to James chapter 4 and verse 7, he writes, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. submit to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And we have to abstain. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." We need to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And submit to God and resist the devil. And then that brings us to the last point. What's the reward? Well, in James chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." We're going to receive the crown of life if we endure through whatever external or internal temptations we may encounter. But only if we endure. We also need, as part of that reward, to count the trial as joy. James 1 verse 2, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." It needs to be something we need not to focus so much on the negative, but be joyful for whatever trials may come our way. We need to endure the trial. Again, in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." We have to endure through it so that we might receive that crown of life. And then James 1, verses 3 and 4, we have to be patient, don't we? "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So, in conclusion, for the Word of God to bear its fruit in our lives, the weeds of sin must first be uprooted. Let's go over to one or two more passages. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, and verses 1 and 2. The writer here writes, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We need to make sure that we are putting off those weeds of sin, that we're actually getting to the root of them, getting rid of them, because there are blessings in the trials that we can encounter. Persecutions and trials and temptations that we may encounter are actually going to show that what we say, "Well, I profess to be a Christian," and then what we actually do coincide. Trials can give us a check that we are indeed what we claim. If I say I am a Christian, and yet I'm out at work telling dirty jokes and making all the guys laugh, I'm not saying what I'm doing, am I? Trials teach us that our strength is in God. Trials are a means whereby we can glorify God by doing His will and obeying Him, even as we talked about in the Deuteronomy class this morning. It's what He wanted the children of Israel to understand, is obey what I tell you to do. And the tears of hardship can be changed to tears of joy if we will use tears of joy to bring us closer to God by doing His will and being joyful for whatever may come our way. Satan isn't going to give up easily. That's what we said at the very beginning. He's going to keep coming back. He's going to wait until an opportune time. And brethren, let us endure trials faithfully no matter what may come, with the recognition that victory is ours if we obey. James 1 and verse 25. Part of the scripture reading that Brother Bob read for us. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." When we look into the perfect law of liberty, God's word. We have to do it. We can't just say it and not follow through. The invitation is offered this morning. If there are those that need to make their lives right in whatever way, shape, or form, we encourage you to come forward and do so as we stand and as we sing.